Well, how many of you are outdoors kind of people? You like the outdoors? I don't know why I raised my hand. There's like an example, but I'm not one of them. I actually prefer to be indoors with either the heat on or the air conditioner on. I don't want windows open. Is it heat or air conditioning mode? I'm kind of one or the other. In fact, when I go outside, then I'm usually like, why am I out here? I'd rather be inside. I'm just an inside person. I don't know. But some of you are probably not just like you like to be outside, but you're kind of like outdoorsy people. Like you'd rather be sitting by a fire in the woods. You'd rather be doing something like that. I'm more of I like my bed that's in my room with the air cranked, right? I'm that kind of person. I like my shower and my toilet, right? I don't like the one at the campground or stuff like that. That's just how I am. But I can do the glamping thing. Like, you know, if you got, you know, a nice bed in a motorhome or whatever with an air conditioner and all that stuff, I'm kind of okay with that. But I'll tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not sleeping in a tent. You will not catch Tim Caraway sleeping in a tent. When I was a kid, yes. Now, absolutely no. But as kids, I remember we used to go out to Bales Lake, which unfortunately, you know, hasn't been open for a long time, but we used to go out there. I remember, you know, my parents taking us camping, and you sit out there, and it's usually cool, and then they start the fire. And you get that fire going, and I remember sitting around that campfire and how much I loved the fire. It didn't matter if it was cold or even on a warm night. You still got to have the fire. And I think about that fire, you know, this fire thing, for some of you, are probably naturals at it. You're like, just give me some sticks and I'll make fire, right? I'll just make it happen. I don't even really need anything. For me, even if we do a campfire, I'm like, it takes me probably way longer to get that fire going than what it ought to. And a lot of newspaper and a full lighter, you know, full of fluid, because I'm going to keep doing it. And some of you, it just comes naturally. But anyway, I remember my dad getting a fire going. And, you know, he did it pretty easily as a kid. I thought, man, making fire is easy. You know, he just gets it all going. He has the fire going. And as I'm sitting there roasting marshmallows on the fire, you know, just enjoying it, and I would notice my dad get up and he'd walk over to the wood and he'd come over and put another log on the fire. You know, as a kid, it just kind of like, I'm like, well, the fire's fine. Like, why is he adding more wood to the fire? All it's doing is it's messing up my flame that I'm trying to use for this marshmallow, right? Something shifted when he did that, when he put more wood on the fire. I just remember him putting more on the fire. And so a little bit later, I know he would get up again, he'd put more on the fire. And sometimes even when it was pretty cool, you know, we may even be in the tent already, and my dad would unzip it, and he'd go out and he'd put another log on the fire. And I'm like, what is with this guy with his putting these logs on the fire? You know, like, give it a rest already. We're supposed to be sleeping. But here's what I realized as I got older, is that he had to keep putting another log on the fire. That was the only way to keep it burning, right? At some point, if you stop adding wood to the fire, it all burns up and there is no fire. It's done. It doesn't work to just start a fire and hope it burns forever, except I guess maybe out west. You know, maybe it works out there where they have the wildfires. But typically, if you start a campfire, you don't just start a fire and it lasts the whole time that you need it and you leave and it's still going. Eventually, it will go out. And as you think about that and what it happens with an actual fire, you know, last week we have a week like Pentecost and we talk about fire and how great it is and how invigorating it is to like catch on fire for the Lord. The problem is we take that same mindset spiritually sometimes and it's like, Lord, set me on fire. And then we just assume that that fire is going to burn for the rest of our lives and that we don't really have to do anything to keep it going. But did you know that we are responsible for keeping the fire burning? We're responsible for that. It doesn't just work to have your soul set on fire and then hope it burns forever. It takes intentionality to keep it burning. That's why we see people who come into the church, oftentimes they get set on fire. They have a great encounter, a great experience, but then they go home and they don't do anything about it. And then maybe they don't come back to church and you're like, what happened to that fire? Well, what happened was they let it go out. What happened is they assumed, well, if God can do that today, he'll do it again tomorrow, and he'll do it again the next day and the next day, and God's just going to keep me on fire for the rest of my life. And you often see those people fade away, oftentimes become unchurched once again, and their life starts to turn back the other direction. Church, you and I have to keep the fire burning. You and I do. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8, we're going to look at this, what the Lord speaks to Moses concerning the priest. In verse 8, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall take his, shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers, and he shall put it on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire consumed on the altar, and take it and put it beside the altar. Then he'll take off his garments and put on other garments and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place." Now listen to verse 12. "And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning." How often? Every morning. "And lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar, and it shall never go out." Church, this is God giving instruction to Moses to give instruction to the Levites who were priests. They were priests unto the Lord. They were the ones who interceded on behalf of the people. They were the go-between between God and man. And he tells them, he says, the fire shall be kept burning. The priest shall put wood on it every morning. A fire shall always be burning. It shall never go out. What word did I keep saying over and over right there? Shall. It shall. Sometimes we overlook a simple word like this, but shall means that it's expected by God. God said it shall be done. It means God expects it. It doesn't mean God's saying it would be a good idea. It doesn't mean God's giving you advice. He's saying, I expect that a fire shall be burning. I expect that it shall never go out, because another part of shall is that it can be an obligation. Because the priest has an obligation to put fire on it every single morning. And God expects that it's always burning and never goes out. That's what Jesus expects of us, church. He starts a fire, like on Pentecost, by his Spirit, okay? And then we are to keep it burning. We are to feed it every day. And we're to keep it burning so that it does not go out. We got to understand the simplicity of that. Is that if we do not feed it, it will go out. It will go out. Now listen, I'm not talking about salvation in this context. I'm talking about the fire. I'm talking about, do you have a passion for the things of the Lord? Do you have some kind of fire for God and his work and his purpose for your life and his cause? Sometimes that goes out in us because we let it. Sometimes it goes out in us because we neglect it. Our problem is that we often reflect that back to Jesus. God said it shall this, it shall that, and sometimes I think we kind of have the mindset of, well, Jesus, you shall finish what you started. right? You shall do it again. You shall light me on fire. Now, keep in mind, we're not even surrendered. We're not standing there like this, like, light me on fire. We're over here on Facebook, like, Lord, set me on fire for you. And we're over here doing all these things that have nothing to do with him. We think that God shall keep the fire burning. It's like we want, this is what we really want, if we're going to be honest. We want God, while we're sleeping, to put some more logs on the fire. We want to be like that kid that's sleeping in the tent. When he goes to bed, the fire's going. And when he wakes up, the fire's going. And he doesn't realize that Dad got up and put logs on the fire. We want God to work like that. I'm not going to do anything, but when I'm not paying attention, God, will you just keep putting a little more on the fire? Will you keep it going and keep it ablaze? And when it's not, we tend to think, well, God, what are you doing? Like, you're slacking. You shall keep it going. You started it. We take this mindset, but listen, it does not work like that to expect God to continually, supernaturally, secretly feed your soul. It doesn't work like that. That's not the expectation, because what works long term is, he says that a priest is obligated to keep the fire burning. A priest is who you are if you belong to Jesus. It's who you are. Revelation 5, verse 9 and 10. As the Lamb opens the scroll, if you don't know much about Revelation, Jesus opens this scroll that no one could open. It's essentially the title deed to the earth. And it says, they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. He makes us kings and what? Priests. You are a priest. Right? Peter wrote that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Right? You are set apart unto God. You are a priesthood to God. You are now the one with access to the throne. By the blood of Christ, you're made a priest to God. And you are supposed to, it says, reign on the earth. You're supposed to reign on the earth. Listen, not just in your home, not just in your workplace, but the church should be reigning on the earth. Nobody said amen to that. We're starting over. Go back to the first slide. No. You are supposed to reign on the earth. You're supposed to, because you're priests. You're kings because of what Jesus has done. You're supposed to reign. As you have direct access to God as a priest, you have to keep the fire burning. I think as a church, you know, if we want to ask, do we keep the fire burning? Maybe not you individually, but does the church globally, does the church keep the fire burning? I think the overall answer for most is probably not. They probably don't keep it burning. If anything, we get a fire started, it goes out, and at some point we get another one started and it goes out. That's why we don't have just lifelong revival reigning on the earth. Is because we don't keep the fire burning. We let it go out, and we wait for God to start it again. So the answer is probably not. And that's probably why we're not reigning on the earth the way that we should be. But we need the fire burning, church. We need it burning. Fire not only purifies, but it exposes the things that are impure and begins to burn them up. How many of you guys would love if the impure things in our society right now would just burn up and be gone? Fire does that. That's how it happens. What's reigning on the earth right now? Sin. Sin is reigning on the earth. Right now, this month, is Pride Month. The world says, let's celebrate sin and call it pride. You know what? I couldn't think of a more appropriate word for celebrating sin than pride. I really couldn't. What is pride? Sin. What is pride? It's the reason Satan fell from heaven was pride. It's the reason that we reject the offer of salvation. For those who don't accept what Jesus did, the reason they reject it? Pride. I don't need anybody else. I can do this. I can figure it out myself. Pride is what causes us to reject God, but pride is also what causes man to live for himself. It's pride, church. It's okay to be proud of your kid for some accomplishment. It's okay to be proud of certain things. But man, Paul said, if I'm going to boast in anything, I'm going to boast in the Lord. Right? I mean, at the end of the day, there's nothing of me that's worth being proud of. It's worth being proud of my God and what He has done, and praise God what He's been able to do through me, in spite of who I am, in spite of my sin. Pride is living for yourself instead of the one that created you and died for you. This morning I saw a tweet from a person I follow, and he said, God, help me to see people the way that you do, including myself. But he also said, help me to see sin the way that you do, including in myself. Church, that's the answer. The answer is not just love and accept everything and everybody because God is love. God is equal in love and in wrath. We need to see ourselves and others the way that God does, but we also need to see our sin and the sin of others the way that God does, and it makes them sick. The Bible calls us not to pride, but the Bible calls us to humility. The Bible calls us to continually see our need for a Savior and to die to self. To die to self. That's to put that sin to death, put the pride to death, be made new, free from the bondage of sin. And if we do that, then we are to reign on this earth with fire burning in our hearts. The fire to keep us pure, the fire to avoid sin and to expose sin within ourselves when it pops up, but also in our world. It means that our responsibility, church, is to guard the flame, to be keepers of the flame, and to maintain the fire, not just in our life, but in our family, in our church, in our community. Listen, the church is not supposed to be silent on matters of sin. It's just not. That's just the fact of it all. We're not called to be silent. We're called to preach the truth of the Word of God and absolutely to love people. But man, I tell you what, there's nothing you can do more loving than lead people to Jesus. There's nothing you can do more loving than to tell somebody, listen, man, no, you are not going to go to heaven the way that you are. Neither would I without Jesus. Right? We're all in the same boat when it comes to that. All sinners in need of a Savior. For us, our job, our responsibility is to keep that fire burning. And so when we consider a fire and what are the components of a fire, you have fuel, oxygen, and heat, the things that we shall continue in daily preparation in our lives to keep the fire burning. We think about fuel. The fuel, what's the fuel for the fire in your spirit, the fire in your life? Fuel is an energy source. Fuel gives something nourishment. Fuel feeds something. And for us, that's prayer, right? Prayer is the energy source for your fire because prayer feeds your soul. Let's look at the disciples right before the day of Pentecost, right before the fire came. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and the mother Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They all joined together. Says they were in unity and they were in prayer and supplication. That's an expression of their need to God. They expressed their need to God. Now, what were they there for? Jesus said, go and wait for the helper. Go and wait for the helper. That's it. And they go and they wait and they pray and they express their need to God. They were saved. They said, we need something more. They expressed their need continually in prayer. And as they prayed, God responded. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I love when I pray and God responds. Anybody else like me? I like that when I see a response. I'm like, all right, he is listening to me. Because there's so many times where we feel like we're stuck in the waiting. Like, is God responding to this? Am I missing it or what's going on? I love when God responds, whether it's how I wanted him to or not. I'd rather have an answer, right? If you text somebody and you're like, hey, you want to hang out? Yes or no, you know? And they don't answer you, you're like, well, man, at least tell me no, right? I'd rather hear no than to hear silence. I like when God responds to me. That fuels me, right? Have a little kid, your grandkid, your nephew, your niece, whoever it is, if they come and they ask you for something they want, and you tell them no, number one, they might throw a fit, if maybe not. If they don't throw a fit, guess what else they're going to do? They're going to come ask you again. Most of them are not just going to be like, well, okay, I really wanted that, but since you said no, I mean, we'll just forget about it. No, what they're going to hope you do is you forget about it. And they come right back. They're like, hey, now can I do that? You know, can I do this? No. We need to be like that with God. The things that we want, that we desire of him, we need to be persistent. Even if he tells us no, we need to continue to go back. Prayer should fuel our lives. If we know that we serve a God, not only that hears our prayer, but he answers our prayer, he hears our heart, he knows what's weighing on us, he knows what's burdening us, he knows what's making you upset or unhappy, he knows even the things that make you question everything about your life, including him. He knows all those things, and he hears it all, and he will respond with what you need. He will respond with what you need. When we pray, the Holy Spirit fuels the fire in our prayer life. Listen, it fuels us. It keeps us going. What do people turn to when they feel the fire in their life waning? When they feel like it's kind of going out and I don't really have a lot going out, people turn to something to stimulate them, right? Anything that gives me a little bit of stimulation. That just means it's a temporary boost, a temporary fix. People turn to alcohol. People turn to drugs. They turn to pornography. They turn to tearing down other people or hurting others. Something that just gives them a quick, short boost, helps them feel better. But prayer fuels us as fuel is a stimulant. Prayer will actually stimulate you. It will actually quicken you in the spirit. And as prayer quickens you, guess what it does? It accelerates the fire, just like adding fuel to a campfire. It will quicken you. It will give you a boost. And listen, the more you pray, the greater the boost is to your fire. It's a guaranteed, church. This isn't like three ways to fix your spirit life and I'm trying to make a top sellers book. These are tried and true biblical practices that will keep your fire burning. Not only that, but it will increase your fire if it's already burning strong. There's a reason that Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks for everything. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's part of God's will for you. His desire that you would always pray. Pray without ceasing, because you shall keep the fire burning. He expects it that you keep the fire burning. Second part is oxygen for a fire. You've got to have oxygen. Oxygen is part of the atmosphere, and it's present in nature, and it is essential for life. How many of you guys can live without oxygen? None. Right? Not even for very long. Like oxygen, praise. Praise is the thing that is so important to our atmosphere. And get this, it's in your nature to praise. It's in you. You have a deep, innate desire built into you to praise God. When you think about praise, listen, that's what you were made for. I tell people all the time, like, man, sometimes we work so hard trying to figure out our purpose for life. Your purpose for life is to praise God. That's where it starts. Now, do you have more purpose in life? Absolutely. All the gifts and the talents and the opportunities, the things that God can use you for. But first and foremost, your purpose is to praise Jesus. That's your purpose. It's what you were made for. Now, think about how praise can change the atmosphere. We go back and you look at the life of David. Right, David finds himself, as he's getting a little older, Israel had just been to war against the Philistines. If you don't remember who the Philistines were, right, when he defeated Goliath, they defeated the Philistines. And here it is, years, decades later, fighting the Philistines. King David, who was getting a little, I don't want to say older, we'll just say he was well-seasoned, David was. He grows tired in battle, and what he finds is they're facing four giants that are fighting with the Philistines. Now, these giants, three of them were the sons of Goliath, and the fourth was the brother of Goliath. And they had one goal, one purpose, kill David. That's what their purpose was in this battle. And so David has four of his mighty men go and battle against these giants. And they killed all four giants. They killed all four giants. How did we get there? He said in 2 Samuel 22, verse 4, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Praise changed everything. In an atmosphere of defeat, it was praise. The praise that was in the nature of man, that as that came out, praise changed the atmosphere and brought the victory. See, we think it was these men that brought the victory. We think it was good strategy that brought the victory. We think it was better weapons that brought the victory. That's not true. What brought the victory that day was praise. Praise is essential to keep your spiritual life burning. You know what negativity is? Negativity is like dumping water on your fire. It will make it go out quicker than anything else. Negativity. Praise is like blowing fresh oxygen right into your fire. It's fresh wind for your fire. If you've got a fire going and a good gust of wind blows through there, you know, just right through the middle of it, if you got it built right where it can get through in the hot coals and everything, and you see that fire just roars up, that's what praise is like for our spirit life. Another time we see the atmosphere changed by praise, Paul and Silas, right? We sang about this earlier. We sang about, you know, praise bringing these walls down. But praise by Paul and Silas, they're imprisoned. What did they do? Did they sit there and feel sorry for themselves? I've said this before, but I don't think we understand what prison was like for them, because it's not like prison is like for today. Prisoners today have like TVs and good food and all, like rec time and all this stuff. Prison for them was sitting in a cold dungeon, chained to the floor in the wall, sitting in your own urine. That's what prison was like for them in that day. And they were sitting in that place, and instead of feeling sorry for themselves, they're like, something has to change here, and they praised. And they praised. And as they praised, they breathed life into a dark atmosphere, and they were freed. Amen? This is what praise does to our life, church. It fuels the fire. It's like breathing oxygen, fresh air into a fire. Your human nature, church, is to doubt and pout. Right? That's what we all like to do. When we're just being stuck in our sorrows, feeling sorry for ourselves, we like the doubt and pout. But your kingdom nature is to look up, look to the hills, where does my help come from, and praise Him. Praise Him, knowing that He's there, knowing that even in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of that situation, that He is there. And if I'm sitting in a dungeon, and as long as I got the Spirit of God with me, then I'm in a better place than I would be anywhere else on earth without Him. It's praise. Just knowing who He is, being aware of His presence, it's as essential to your fire in your soul as oxygen is to a campfire. And the third thing is heat. What's heat? It's just the condition of being hot. But especially in a fire, heat is required to raise the material to an ignition point, right? An ignition temperature. So think about this. What's the material in this situation? It's us. It's our soul. It's who we are. If we are the material, what's required to get you to the point of ignition? What's required to get you to the point where you will set on fire, where you'll catch a blaze? It's God's Word. It's God's Word. Listen, you cannot burn for Jesus without God's Word. You can't. I'm telling you, it can be a temporary fire. Anybody like me that doesn't know how to start fires as well, and you just think if I dump all this gas on here, this fire will, not only will it burn, but it'll burn like forever because of all the gas. What happens when all the gas burns off? Sometimes there's no fire. The gas just burns off and the wood is a little charred, but it didn't really catch. We have too many churches and too many Christians that are like that. It's like fire, fire, fire. Everything's an experience. Everything's an encounter. Everything's this atmosphere thing, and that's it. And they don't ever have this aspect of it. They don't have the part of it that brings you to an ignition point. They don't have the heat. They don't have God's Word. Listen, it is critical to a fire, God's Word. It's critical. You cannot burn for Jesus without His Word. This is why we have churches and denominations right now that they don't burn for Jesus, they burn for man. Right? Their passion is all people, but it has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with attendance. It has everything to do with the offering size. It has everything to do with fitting into the culture. How do we appeal to all the people? Listen, I'm not saying there's not a balance there in trying to think about how to reach people. But at the end of the day, if the Word of God isn't the foundation, it doesn't matter what you reach people with. It does not matter because it will not bring change. There's too many churches that are brought into this wokeness that we see in our society today. How do we make everyone feel welcome, included, invited, and they do things to fit in with the culture? Church, that's not the answer. The answer is still Jesus. The answer is still the Word of God, and then the Spirit of God empowering the Word of God to bring change to our lives, every one of us. That's the answer. But instead, we see churches that are turning away from the Scripture. They're turning away from the Scripture. There's churches, there's ministers, there are elders who are saying that part of the Bible isn't really relevant for today, or that's not really what God meant when He said that, because that was for that culture and it's not for us. And so they throw out the stuff that confronts sin. I'm going to tell you, if you're throwing out parts of the Bible, you're done already. But especially if you're throwing out the parts that confront sin. If you throw sin out, we don't need a Savior. If you throw sin out, it's a lie, because we do need a Savior. And so where are you leading people with those kinds of things? And the thing is, they think they're hot, but they're not. The church is full It's overflowing. There are mega churches. Guys, I'm not even kidding you. There are churches of 10, 15,000 people, and the Bible is not being preached in its entirety. It's not being preached in truth. It's a bunch of people who are just in a gathering that makes them feel good together because it's all hyped up and everybody in this place is going to heaven just because you showed up to church. That's not reality. Reality is that we all need Jesus for who He is, not for who we want Him to be, not for what makes us feel good. These churches think they're hot, but they're not. They're as cold because they're leading people away from the heat source. It's God's Word. After His resurrection, Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus. Many of you know this story. He walked on the road to Emmaus with some disciples, and He disguised Himself. He hid Himself from their eyes. They didn't know who He was. And as He walks with them, and they're talking about Jesus and about the cross and the resurrection, and it's kind of like, you know, they don't realize He's with them, and they're kind of talking back and forth about the story. And then at the end of it, after He breaks bread and He reveals who He is to them, they're kind of like, oh, wow, it was Him all along. Amazing. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 32, He leaves and they look at one another. It says, they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? What was it? What was it that burned within them? It was when they heard the Word. It was when the Scripture was opened to them. It was when the Word of God, the truth of God, was revealed to them. That's when they burned. They're like, it was the Word. It wasn't even His presence, because His presence was concealed. It was His Word. When His Word came, before they even knew it was Jesus, before He even had spoken, they're like, wow, all this stuff that's going on with this Jesus and how amazing this is. And as soon as He begins to reveal the Scripture to them, church, the heat was present. All of a sudden, it's like, man, we are on fire because of the Word of God, because of the truth. Listen, Jesus came to set the captives free. How is He going to do that? By revealing the truth. Part of that truth is the fact that we need a Savior, church. Don't ever lose sight of that. If you want to heat up, church, you got to read God's Word. You've got to. There's no shortcut. I'm telling you, I'm the kind of person that looks for shortcuts. Sometimes I'm lazy. There's no shortcut to this. If reading God's Word will set your heart on fire, it absolutely will. And if you read it today and it doesn't, read it again tomorrow. We're responsible to keep the fire burning in our lives. God expects it from us. It's not just a one-time fix. It's not just read through the Bible in a year and then hope you retain it for the rest of your life. You've got to read your Bible, and if you don't, then do not expect to be on fire for God. Don't expect it. You can't keep a fire going without His Word providing the heat to your soul. You and I are priests. We're priests if we belong to Jesus. And it's our responsibility to keep the fire burning. I don't know about you, but sometimes I fail to put wood on the fire every morning. Anybody with me? Can we be honest this morning? Sometimes I fail to put wood on the fire every morning. Sometimes I fail to do that because I'm busy. I got stuff going on. And you know what? Usually that day ends up stinking. Usually that day, most things go wrong. You know? Is that Newton's law? Is that the one that must, whatever can go wrong? Murphy's. I don't pay attention to that stuff. Murphy's law, whatever can go wrong will. Yeah, that's me if I didn't put wood on the fire. But I'm going to tell you what, when I put wood on the fire, things still go wrong. But the way Tim handles it is exponentially different. We are responsible, church, to put wood on the fire every day. Every single day. He didn't even say every day but Sunday. Even on Sunday, you're going to church, you still need to pray. You still need to praise. You still need God's Word. Even on that day, we're all responsible to keep the fire burning. And if you do those things daily in your life, pray, praise, Word. You do them daily in your life, a fire shall always be burning, and it shall never go out. Which is exactly what God wants for you and me. Amen? Would you stand with me? This morning, as we wrap up in worship and in altar time, when we consider the fact of this fire, there's times when we can hear a message like this and we miss the point. And instead of being encouraged, we feel a little bit beat up and a little bit discouraged. But I want to remind you this morning of God's grace and how great His grace is. You might be like, last Sunday was Pentecost. Last Sunday I came up in unity and we worshiped together and I felt like I was on fire when I left here, but by Sunday afternoon or definitely by Monday, I let the fire go out. And maybe you feel bad about that. Don't feel bad about it. Get it started right here, right now. And then say, tomorrow, I'm going to put wood on the fire. And the next day, I'm going to put wood on the fire. And if it goes out, listen, God will keep igniting a fire in your life. But I'm going to tell you what, you're responsible to keep it going. Praise God by His grace that He will do it again. What He's done before, He will do it again. It doesn't mean you won't suffer the consequences of letting the fire go out. It doesn't mean you're free of the things that can happen when that fire is not there. But what it does mean is when He paid it all, He covered all those times that we let the fire go out. So let right now, right here today, be the time that we say, Lord, here I am again. Burn in me again, and I will, as a priest, I will keep this fire going. Amen? Father, we thank You and praise You for Your goodness, Your faithfulness, God. Lord, we pray today, right here, right now, that we could be a people that would say, God, I surrender to You. Lord, will You start a fire in me? Lord, if I've got a fire going, we're just asking for more. God, we're asking for more of Your presence. We're asking for a greater measure of Your grace. God, we're asking for a greater ability to hear what You are speaking to us. Lord, as we praise You, we ask You to be faithful to Your Word and draw all men unto Yourself. God, as we praise You, we pray that today, right now, the atmosphere would shift in this place if we feel like we're in a place of darkness. God, let today be the day that a fire is lit and the darkness is driven out in Jesus' name. God, as we pray right now, and we praise here in just a moment, and we heard the Word of God, we believe that today, right here in this small church, God, that You can burn a fire within us, Lord, one that is going to go out and rule and reign wherever we have our hands touched. Whatever place of influence we have, Lord, we want to reign in it. Lord, would You set Your church ablaze this morning? Lord, would You return us to that place where we're supposed to be, ruling and reigning as priests and kings of the one true God? And as we give it all to You, Lord, God, I pray for any who are away from You, who are apart from You, any who have yet to take that step of commitment of their life to You, that today would be that day. Jesus, would You reveal Your goodness to them? Reveal Your love to them? Reveal Your grace to them? Lord, I just pray that You open the eyes of the blind to see who we really are without You and of how great our need is for You, and that Your love that You poured out on the cross is so great. It's so great that it overcomes, overwhelms, destroys any kind of fear, any kind of reservation that we might have of trusting You. God, we just declare that we trust You and we love You, for You are good. In Jesus' name, amen.